In Deuteronomy chapter 33, the 29th verse, and then I want to read a few verses maybe in chapter 34, but it said, "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places." And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and to the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, and the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, "This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither." So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher until this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended, and Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Amen. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for your people. I pray, Lord, that you'd anoint me for a little while to preach what you laid on my heart for this service. God, I pray that you crown this service with a glorious altar call, Lord, that would draw us closer to you and make us better Christians. We'll thank you for it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Here in this mountain, Moses, he saw the things, he saw the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, we need to realize something, that Moses had spent the greater part of his life trying to get to where he was standing right now. I mean, there he was. The Lord took him over. He looked in that land. I mean, if you've been trying to get somewhere and you've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years and you've been trying to get somewhere and you get right on the precipice of it, and he was trying to get there all of his life, and the Lord says, "I'm gonna let you see it with your eye, but it's not my will for you to go over in and possess it. I got other plans for that." Amen. There he was. I mean, the Bible says that there rose not a prophet since Moses who knew God face to face. I mean, he was a great man. I mean, there he was to die. His funeral was to be held. God preached his funeral, and the angels there witnessed it. Amen. And as we, read through the Old Testament, I mean, there's no question that Moses was a great man of God. I mean, we see him at the Red Sea. He's holding up the rod of the Lord, and he's saying, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He's there at the burning bush receiving commandments from the Lord, receiving the touch from the Lord. He's there, when he receives the Ten Commandments in the midst of the fire and the smoke of Mount Sinai. I mean, he's coming down off the mountain with a glow upon his face that was so strong that the children of Israel couldn't even look upon him. He was a great man. But even though life has its mountaintops, like a mountain of vision, it also has its valleys of disappointment. And it was from this mountain that he saw the land that he'd been trying to get to all of his life. And it was on this mountain that he faced the disappointment of not being able to enter in to Canaan's land. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd like to preach for a little while if the Lord would help me on dealing with disappointment. And sometimes this message may not fit your circumstance right now, but if you'll take it and file it, you'll get there sooner or later if you live for God for any length of time. Now, I wanted to point out that Moses was a great man. And so great people go through disappointments just as well as anybody else does. And so here Moses was, and he was, a lot of people question, does it pay to live right? The answer to that question is it may never pay in this life like people think it should. But I can tell you that in the future, God has promised that it's going to pay to do what he asks us to do. Amen. And a lot of times, I guess when you're younger, you know, you have this idea of what you're going to do in life. I mean, I think probably all of us do. We have, dreams and we have aspirations and we have things that we want to do. But, after living a while, sometimes you find out that life's realities rarely meet life's expectations. I mean, really, you sit there and when you're a young person and you plan out this, and this, and normally it doesn't work out like that. So you have to learn to adjust. You have to learn how to deal with disappointments. I think one of the things that hinders us as human beings and Christians as well is we're often taught how to succeed, but never taught how to deal with disappointments and those disappointments that are going to come in life and how to overcome them. Amen. And we have to learn to deal with disappointments. I've often said when I first realized that I wasn't going to be a millionaire, then it really helped me get on with my life. Really, it did. I mean, God had ample opportunity if he wanted to make a millionaire out of me, but it just wasn't to be. And so when I finally, come to grips with that, it helped me to get on and live the life I need to live. Amen. And sometimes, that's the way we have to deal with disappointments. It's, life has its mountaintops of achievements, also valleys of disappointments and frustrations. Here we see great man of God, Moses there, about to cross over Jordan, enter into the promised land, fulfill what he felt like was his life's purpose, but it was God that had other plans. In April of 1945, in World War II, the Allied armies had pressed the invasion into the German heartland. I mean, the war was all but about over. And, President Roosevelt was there at 1 p.m. on April the 12th. President Roosevelt sat in his living room of his cottage. He was surrounded by friends. There was an artist over there painting a picture of him. He had meetings going on. They were getting ready to sign the armistice in just 3 weeks, and he was there. And, everything that he had tried to achieve, he was the longest sitting president, and everything he tried to achieve, he wanted the war to be over. And there it was, right there, right on the precipice of it. I mean, he had a meeting to go to, and he and Winston Churchill and others were going to be there at the signing of the armistice. But right there, just a moment, he reminded the artist, he said, "You only got 15 minutes. I need you to hurry because I got other appointments." But it was in that meeting, and at that time, that President Roosevelt, he died. Right there in that meeting place, right there 3 weeks before he was going to get to realize something that the long, hard battle that he'd been fighting was about to be over. And he did not get to partake in that, what they call VE Day or Victory Europe Day. You think about President Lincoln the same way. Right at the time when Lee's army laid down the arms and the bloody 4 years of Civil War was coming to an end, President Lincoln said, "I now see the end of this terrible conflict with the same joy of Moses when at the end of his trying 40 years in the wilderness, I pray my God to grant me to see the peace and untold prosperity which will follow this cruel war. As Moses asked God to see the other side of Jordan and enter into the promised land." There he was, right there at a time when he was getting to the place where he was trying to get to. Amen. And so life has its different kinds of disappointments. Amen. The first thing I want to tell you how to deal with disappointment today is the first thing you have to do is make sure that quitting is not an option. When you are dealing with disappointments, the first thing you have to do is take quitting off the table. Amen. If you do that, then God will help you. Amen. A lot of times, I don't know what's going to happen. The devil, he's always pressuring you. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? Especially when something goes wrong. What are you going to do now? You know what? The reason he presses you is because you don't know what you're going to do now. And the good thing about that, you don't have to know what you're going to do now. You just have to know what you're not going to do. Just like those three Hebrew children. Hey, what are you going to do now? We're going to heat that fire up seven times hotter. And they didn't know what they were going to do. They said, well, you know, if God wants to, he can deliver us. We don't know if he is or not. But I can tell you one thing, what we're not going to do, we're not going to bow. Amen. And so you have to realize that you got to take quitting off the table when you're dealing with disappointment. I mean, we need to have that attitude. We'll never quit trying to do what God wants us to do, even though our expectations do not meet the reality that we're facing. I mean, they expected the Lord to deliver them, but they was facing a fiery furnace, so it was a reality. I mean, you know, sometimes the reality does hit home. Amen. Paul was there, and they were, Agabus, he was a prophet, and he took Paul's, that girdle, and he wound it around. He said, the man that owns this said, you're going to be bound in Jerusalem. People just started weeping and wailing. Please, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. And Paul just looked at him. He said, I'm not really ready only to be bound, but he said, I'm ready to die if need be. And what he was doing was he was taking that situation in his life out of the hands of the enemy and putting it in the hands of God. And that's what we have to do. We don't know what we're going to do, but we're not going to let the devil take control of the situation and press us into doing and quitting like he wants us to do and press us into to going different directions in our lives just because it doesn't seem like it's going the way we want it to now. Amen. Paul was saying he took that out of the hands of the enemy and left it in the hands of God. And that's what we had. That's how we deal with disappointment. David was there. He wanted to build a temple for the Lord. He was out there and he was looking around. He had a great house of cedar, and he said, the Lord doesn't have a house to dwell in. And he said, he told Nathan the prophet, he said, well, I think I'll build the Lord a house. And Nathan the prophet said, well, that's a great idea. Let's do it. And the next day, I mean, that night, the Lord had spoke to Nathan and told him, said, it won't be David that builds it. It'll be Solomon that builds it. And he came back and he told David. Now, if David would have been like a lot of folk, he'd have said, well, if I can't build it, I don't care if I get to build it or not. I mean, you know, if I can't do it. But David, he knew how to deal with disappointment. He knew some things about it. And he said, well, if that's the way the Lord wants it, then that's all right with me. I'm going to start gathering materials to see that it gets built. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we're not able to do some of the things that our vision tells us that we want to do, but you can help other people. I mean, you know, when I was younger, boy, I did my share of running, brother, and jump and shout and glory to God. But I tell you, it's not that I don't have the victory. I just don't have the legs I used to have. Praise the Lord. You know? But I still like to watch them young guys do it. But, you know, when you take off around Bible Holiness, you better be ready to run. I mean, that's a long ways. And so, and those guys are fast, and they'll run over you too. So, I mean, you know, it hadn't that the devil's knocked the run out of me. I just ain't as fast as I used to be. Amen. And sometimes we can't do everything that we'd like to do in life, but we can help to see that it gets done. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we keep on going. I mean, Peter failed at the cross, but he succeeded in trying again. The prodigal son was disappointed that he didn't, at the far country. But he came to himself, and he went back, and he succeeded at trying again when getting back to the Father's house. There's a great multitude of people of whom it might be written, these all died in faith, not having received a promise, but having seen them afar off. Sometimes achievements in life are not measured, by things that we actually accomplished, but what did we attempt for God? I mean, what did we want to do for the Lord? How did we try to continue to build? I mean, you know, some people see other things as larger than others. I mean, you know, the temple getting rebuilt. Solomon's temple was destroyed, and then they rebuilt the temple in the book of Haggai. And, chapter 2 and verse 3, they ask a question. You know, here the young people were. They were rejoicing. It's the only temple they ever saw. And they were rejoicing, but the elders, they had seen Solomon's temple, and they wasn't near as excited about this smaller temple and the things about it that the younger people were. And, the older folks got, well, I tell you what, back in my day, this temple right here, it wouldn't have held nothing to Solomon's temple. And really, in a natural sense, that was true. Sometimes if we're not careful, every time some young person gets on fire and they get excited about something, if we're not careful, as older people will say, that's nothing compared to what we have. But you see, the thing about young people is they don't know. They're excited. And we don't need to kill their zeal all the time by saying we had it better. Because sometimes we did. Like one brother said, he said, they've been talking about the last good 50 years ever since Adam turned 51. Amen. I like what Brother Branham would always say. He said, I lived in those good old days. And he said, we had some dry times back in too. Amen. And so if we're not careful when dealing with disappointment, we can't afford to quit. I mean, we've got to keep on going. I mean, how do you see it now? The people were there and, the young people were rejoicing. And we've got to realize, yeah, I know. I mean, I've almost been in the church 30 years, brother. If I make it September the 1st, I've been in the church. I've been saved and in the church 30 years, and I'll be the first to say that it wasn't like what it was back in just 30 years ago. And many of you have been here and seen a lot more changes than I have, and it's not like it was. Amen. But God is still the same. God can still make things better. God can still move. Amen. And, we got to be so careful that we don't get so tied to the past that we have no interest in the present or in the future. I mean, I don't know when the Lord's going to come back. I'm expecting him any moment. But if the Lord tarries another 30 years, there needs to be a First Pentecostal church right here in London, Kentucky, that's still reaching out to young people, that's still reaching out to lost people, that's still reaching out to people that have needs. Glory to God. And if we're not careful, we'll keep looking back to the past so much that it dims our interest for the present and for the future. I mean, God wants to do something today. These young people that were rejoicing about this rebuilding of the temple, brother, amen, that's all they knew. They knew God was moving in their midst. They were thrilled. They had victory in their soul. I thank God for youth camps. I hear some just got back. Praise God. Fan the flame. Let the fire build, brother. God's still moving. He's still working in your life. Amen. I'm telling you, the problem with these people about rebuilding the temple was, is they never saw it. They just heard the story. Amen. And the thing about it is they didn't have any story of their own. But I thank God, God's building some stories in some young people's lives. Amen. I tell you, God's been moving. Amen. My daughter, man, I really hate it when they grow up pretty, you got to build a fence around them. Boy called me and said, can I text your daughter? I said, no. No, you can't, buddy. Thanks. Man. Ew. But, it was a good day, brother. When my daughter came in, she said, Dad, said I was praying. And said, Lord dealt with me. It's probably been about a year ago now. She said, I'm not going to date anybody until I get 18. Man, you talking about old guys shouting. Woo. Glory to God. Just the other day, she said, Dad, I'm turning 18 February, don't you? Yeah, I know. But she's tried to hold on to that. Amen. Let me tell you something. I'm glad God's working in young people's lives. I'm glad God's speaking to them. I'm glad they're building their own stories. God's moving in their lives. And as we, as the older ones in the church and those there, we got to get behind them and say, praise God. Amen. Get that experience. Get down in there deep with God. Let him work in your life. Get your own story to tell. Amen. Pray and seek the face of God. Let him deal with your life and let him help you. Amen. I tell you there, in verse 7 of that second chapter of the book of Haggai, amen, I know a Texan can't say that, so just forgive me for my lack of English knowledge there. Amen. But in that 7th verse, the Lord said these words. He said, my spirit remaineth with you. Yes, Moses is dead. Yes, Solomon's gone. Yes, the temple's gone. David's gone on. He served his followers and fell among sleep. He said, but I'm still here with you. Amen. I want to tell you what, I'm glad that God's Spirit is still here with us in 2012. I thank God for what he did in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s. I don't think we ought to do away with it. I think we ought to build on it. Amen. Praise God. You always build on the great work that God used great men to do. Sometimes people don't have very much sense. We're standing in a vestibule there in the lobby, and there's a big picture of Brother Branham over there. I mean, you know, sometimes it's somebody that's working in a school. Sometimes I just look up at that big picture of Brother Branham and just kind of give him a little wink. Thank you, brother. You mean a lot to me. One guy said, y'all take that picture down. You're just mired in the past and all that. And I just looked at him. I'm not a very reserved person, you know. I mean, if I would have been there in Peter's day, I would have been the one cutting the ear off. I mean, you know, I just know. I mean, that's just my personality. Brother Taylor, that's why he's the president of the school. He's got a lot more grace than I do. And he said, well, son, he said, the thing about it is you just need to build off of great men and try to go on and stand on their shoulders and do the best you can. And he turned to him and he said, but as long as I'm here, the picture stays. Amen. Glory to God. Why? The past, you can't live in the past. You got to build over it. On it. I mean, the past is like a lot of places I've been. It's a good place to visit. But you can't live there. You got to keep on going. You got to keep on doing what God wants you to do. Amen. Young people, God's still got a future. God's got a present and a future. He wants to work right here in this church, right here in this area. Amen. I want to tell you something. God wants to help us. Amen. Well, if we're not careful, we fail to see the greatest days in our lives could be even ahead of us, some of us. Amen. Praise God. And we need to let the Lord help us. The second thing I'd like to say is, and these next 2 points will be a little faster than the first one, so don't get alarmed there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is we have to learn to submit ourselves to the will and providence of God. What God wants in our lives may not be what we had planned out. But I remember right after I got out of Bible school. Now, I left a great job and did some things. I mean, I was a little older when I came to Bible school. But I felt like God wanted me to do some things in the ministry. And so I laid those things down and I went on and I went through Bible school. And the first church, brother, called me to come try out. Man, I was on fire. And I was on fire, brother. I mean, I went to that church. Man, it was running about 120. When they told me what they were paying, then they took me down to the parsonage. It was a two-story. Man, that thing was sweet. I was sitting there thinking, wow, they didn't try it out. 8 preachers, we're coming here. Amen. They didn't vote on none of them. They're going to vote on us. Man, I was sitting in Texas waiting on me. I was sitting there by that phone. That phone rang, boy, I jerked it up. Brother, I'm sorry. You just didn't quite get it. Man, I'm telling you, I was so disappointed. I mean, these thoughts run through my mind. You know, this is the reason why I went to Bible school. I mean, this is the reason why I quit my job and did all that stuff, because I wanted to do something for God, and now I ain't going to get to it. You know, all those thoughts start flooding in your mind. But really, I didn't have the wisdom to pastor church. I thought I did. And God knew I didn't. He helped those people. He blessed those people. And he blessed me, too. Some people rush into things, and they, you know, they get cut all to pieces, and then they run back and quit. You know, but the thing about it is I had to submit myself to the will and providence of God and realize he had other plans for me. He had other things that he wanted me to do. But I wanted to do that. But God had other plans. Just like David wanted to build that temple, but God had other plans. God had a will for him. I mean, you know, there's no record of Moses murmuring or complaining when he was not permitted to enter into Canaan's land. And David surrendered his dream to the will of God. President Lincoln said these words, I cannot conceal from you that I hear in my soul the voice of God saying, I will only see the great things happen in America from a distance, for I will be among the dead. But just as the Lord heard no murmur from the lips of Moses when he told him that he had to die before crossing the Jordan, so I hope and pray that he will hear no murmur from me when I fall for my nation's sake. I mean, he had that premonition in his life that he wasn't going to get to see it. Amen. It's that thing that he had worked for all of his life. Amen. But I want to tell you something. We do need to take quitting off the table. We do need to surrender to the providence of God. But we also need to remember, and the last thing I'd like to say about dealing with disappointments is you need to realize it's never over until it's over. It's never over till you see the end of the thing. I mean, in that temple, the Lord told him, he said, I'm going to do greater things in this temple than was ever done in Solomon's temple. You mean greater than the smoke coming down and the ministers not being able to minister? He said, greater things. Amen. And the reason why it was greater is because that's the temple that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, walked into and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives at liberty, to preach deliverance. Amen. All glory to God. I want to tell you, God is not finished. That's why we need to realize that sometimes we have some setbacks. Amen. Sometimes we have some disappointments in life, but God is not through. Amen. With you. God's not through with me. God has some things that he wants us to do. It's never over until it's over. Amen. I tell you, the children of Israel made it to Canaan's land. The temple of God got built. Amen. We're still talking about the exploits of the Apostle Peter and others. Lincoln's dreams of a United States with prosperity beyond the wildest imagination has been gained and partially lost since then. Amen. I want to tell you something. God is not finished. Even though disappointments may come in life, amen, God is not through. Amen. When Joseph said in Genesis 50:24, I die, but God will surely visit you. He was saying, I'm going on by the wayside, but God is still going to visit you. And when he does, take my bones with you. Amen. I tell you what, it was 400 years, but there come a day when it was moving time. And the children of Israel grabbed up those bones of Joseph and took them over into Canaan's land. Glory to God. Amen. I'm glad that God always performs what he promises. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. When Moses laid his hands on Joshua, he said, son, I'm going to see the land, but you're going to go into it. Go ahead and possess the land. The same God that's with me is going to be with you. And that's my message to the young people this morning. The same God that's been with our forefathers is with us today. God still wants to work. God still wants to move. No, things are not the same. People are not the same, but God never changes. And he's still got a work for us to do. He's got a work for this church to do. Amen. I want to tell you something. This is the church that Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Oh, glory to God. I want to tell you something. God has got a plan for our lives. If we don't get disappointed and discouraged and despondent, still got a lot of things to offer. But I tell you, a lot of the elders, you know, sometimes, I can remember, man, I came off, I didn't have any business driving on the road. It was snow covered, ice covered. And I remember coming over there, that little old rise in that road and sliding off the road, had a tremendous wreck. I mean, you know, my wife was unconscious, had all kinds of problems. And I was really at a point, a low point. And I can remember I was in that travel trailer. It had been below zero for at least a week. And I was in that travel trailer, one of those old rollout windows, you know. And it was cold. I was laying in bed, had my toboggan on. And we were in Bible school, brother. My wife, we'd been married about a year. She thought she knew me, but she didn't really know me. You don't know people. And not real early on, you don't. But I remember, boy, I was just staring into space, you know. She said, what you thinking? I said, you really want to know? She said, yeah. And I said, well, I'm thinking about whether or not to throw this lamp out the window or just run my fist through it. I said, I hadn't really figured out which one I'm going to do yet. And she said, oh, okay. And, But I can remember, brother, when the Holy Ghost came in. And I went down the end of that travel trailer, right down there on Brother Breckenridge land. Cold, brother. I got down at the end of that travel trailer, and God spoke to me in my heart. And he said, I will try you because I'm making something out of you that you don't understand right now. He said, but I will never discourage you. When you feel that dark cloud coming between you and me, it's just the devil trying to cut off your supply line, because he knows if you ever get to where you are right now, you're going to get help. Glory to God. I'm going to tell you what, brother. That was way back in 1988, and that's helped me a lot of times since then. When things didn't work out like I wanted them to, brother. Amen. I knew God was still the same, but he was there and he was ready to help me. Amen. And I could go and get in the presence of the Lord and drive that dark cloud away. God would help me. But during that time, he was an elder of the church, brother. He came walking up behind me. I was praying in the altar. Brother Lauren Wimbish, a great man. I'll tell you, I really appreciate Brother Wimbish, Sister Wimbish, their lives. He walked up behind me, and I felt his hands on my shoulders, and he leaned forward, and he said, Brother Mike, he said, I prayed all night for you last night. And he said, I just wanted God to tell me something. Tell me something that might help you. And he said, this is the only thing he told me to tell you. He said, he told me to tell you to hold on, because you're making something out of you. And he said these words. He said, he told me that he's carving out another one. And sometimes, brother, when you get in that place where God's working, and God, I mean, things are not going just exactly what you want to, don't quit. Sometimes we have to surrender to the will and providence of God. It just wasn't what God wanted us to do. Amen. But I want you to remember today, it's never over until it's over. There's still other things to do. There's still a God in heaven that wants to help us. Sister, if you come to the piano, I'm getting ready to close. Amen. Glory to God. You ever read in the Bible about people? And they were only described by their deformity. Like the man with the withered hand. I'm sure he had a name. Just nobody knows it. He had a withered hand. The woman with an issue of blood. I don't know what her name was. That woman that was bowed down with a spirit of infirmity. That word with, they all came to Jesus with something. And it could be asked today, what did you come here with? What kind of load you carry today? I can tell you this. That when they left Jesus, I don't know what they called that man after he left, but they couldn't call him the man with a withered hand no more, because he stretched it out. They couldn't call that woman the woman that was bowed down anymore, because the Bible says she was made straight. She went home rejoicing. I really feel like maybe there might be somebody here. You're here with something. Really, usually we all come with something. But I'm here to tell you, you don't have to leave with it. It can be different if we do what we need to do to deal with the disappointments in life. Would you stand with me this morning?